God is good all the time. And all the time, our God is good. It is so good to be here with you this weekend. I have been praying for you guys. I know that you have been praying for me, and I appreciate that so much. I know that God has a lot in store for us, and I'm thankful for your invitation to be here today. I appreciate those that have been working to bring this program into fruition. It's not easy to try to put something like this together, so I appreciate all of your hard work, Sister Anessa and her posse, and those that have been working side by side with her so that we could come together, and we have packed the room. We even have people sitting on the floor, so that is a blessing. Thank you so much to our praise and worship leader. Thank you for allowing God to use you in such a mighty way. But now we're going to get down to the business at hand. I'm standing here today as public enemy number one. That's why I have on my orange is a new black. I am guilty of allowing my past and my problems and my pain to keep me from the purpose that God had for me. I did not allow him to use me the way that he could. And so I'm guilty of that. I allow things that transpired a long time ago to keep me from moving forward. You see, it started when my father, he was a street pharmacist. He was a drug dealer. And my mother, she just got tired of his hustle. I remember countless occasions my mother telling me that my father was crazy and that he was evil. And until she could no longer take it, she took off in the middle of the night like a runaway slave, but she left me there with the man that she told me was crazy and evil. She didn't take me with her, and that was the night that my incarceration began. I gave myself a life sentence without the possibility of parole based on fear, abandonment, and abuse. I didn't think I was good enough to save. I didn't think that I was worthy, or else she would have taken me with her. It messed with me. I tried to get rid of the pain. I tried to sweep it under the rug. It didn't matter that as a young girl I would get A's on a report card. It didn't matter that I was able to walk on any fashion show on the runway. It didn't even matter that God had blessed me with a man that loved him with all of his heart, and that man loved me. My spirit had already been shattered. I was broken. And no matter what I tried to do, I could not move forward. I couldn't break free. I was incarcerated. I was handcuffed. My spirit was on lockdown. I tried to numb the pain. I would use drugs. I was drinking Grey Goose alcohol. Some of y'all might know what that is. I used to get down that way. I tried to get rid of the pain by just doing all kinds of craziness. I was not allowing God's power to touch my life. I was too busy crying and trying to figure out, why would this woman leave me? Why didn't she take me with her? And it messed me up for years. And here's the thing about it, y'all. I had already heard, I believed, I repented, I confessed, I was baptized. I had access to the throne of God. I could go to God and I could tell him all about my troubles. I could have a little talk with Jesus. I would go to church every Sunday. I would give a little something, something in the offering plate. I would go to church and I would sit there, handcuffed. I would walk in handcuffed. I would walk out handcuffed, because there were only certain things that I would give to God. I wouldn't give him everything. I wouldn't allow him to touch this part of my life because it hurt too much. It was too painful for me to have to deal with it. So this little thing right here, God, I would tell him, I wouldn't let him get close to me. I wouldn't let him touch the source of my pain. And consequently, I became public enemy number one. I was my own worst enemy. I allowed it to distract me from whatever purpose that God had for me. I developed my own weapons of mass destruction. And no matter how much I was smiling and cheesing and grinning on the outside, on the inside, I was falling apart. I didn't feel worthy. I told myself that I wasn't worth anything, because surely if I was, then she would have taken me with her, right? I drew this imaginary line in the sand, and I dared people to cross it. I would sabotage friendships and relationships, because for me, if my mother would leave me, then surely everybody else would. It affected the way that I trusted God. I would not trust him fully. I would not surrender all. I wouldn't give him this pain. I was a child of God, but I was my own worst enemy. I couldn't break free. I was trapped. I wasn't strong enough to break free. I didn't have the power to set myself free. I needed somebody that could set me free. I couldn't do it by myself, so I know that, and I knew that I needed someone that was bigger and badder and stronger than all of my fears. I needed someone that knew my end at my beginning. I was looking for someone that understood where I was with all of my baggage and all of being handcuffed, and they still wouldn't give up on me. I needed somebody that would love me and never, ever leave me. I needed somebody that could carry me when I couldn't take another step. I needed somebody that already knew about my past and knew about all my pain, but wasn't afraid of my deepest fears, and they could give me some relief and some forgiveness. I needed somebody that could heal me. I needed somebody that could give me some peace that would surpass all understanding and all logic and all comprehension. I just needed somebody to set me free. But God. Only God could breach the boundaries that I put in place for myself. And I'm just crazy enough to believe that there are women sitting in this audience right now, and you're public enemy number one, too. You're your own worst enemy. I'm just crazy enough to believe that I'm not by myself and feeling weak sometimes and refusing to allow God's power to heal and bring joy and peace that only he can give. I know that there are women sitting up in here right now, and you're just like me. There's this pain that you just won't give it to God. You won't surrender all to God. You want to, but the pain is too great, and you become engulfed, and you're trapped, and you're tricked, and you're hoodwinked. Now your pain, just like me, it has become your companion. And now it's to the point where with some of us, you're comfortable with the pain. You're living in a dysfunctional state, but you've become so comfortable with being jacked up that you don't even know it anymore. You've embraced it, and you refuse to let it go. You want to, but see, that's the trick of the trap. You're on lockdown, and you don't even realize it. I know that I'm not by myself, but I know that there's this fear that keeps some of us from moving forward. You became caught up, and you became tricked, and you're hoodwinked, and now you're handcuffed. You're imprisoned. You're incarcerated. But I also know that when you let him, when you let God, when you submit and when you surrender, when you stop fighting a battle that's not even yours, y'all, when you stop worrying and you make up in your mind to start worshiping, that's when God starts working. Today, you came here for one thing, but I'm about to give you something else, because what you really need today, you really need to be healed. You really need to be free so that you can have a transformed life. Well, Deb, now who set this trap for us? Who did this? See, I realized that with all the stuff that had transpired in my life, God allowed those things. He allowed them to happen. God allows things to happen in our lives to strengthen us. But then the devil takes those same things and he uses those things against us to destroy us. We become engulfed by life's stuff and we get set up with the trap and he wants to destroy us with it. And then our spirits get handcuffed. Our hearts are on lockdown. But God. I'll say it again. But God. God was not afraid of my fears. He orchestrated every single event in my life. Anybody ever had a but God moment? When you know that you should not be here, but God. Based on the way that you used to roll and the way that you used to get down, you have no business sitting up in here at Harding, but God. There was a time when you didn't have it all together, but God. You see, we've all had a once upon a time moment. I know we're sitting up here looking good, and we're singing praises to God, and we know the verses and we know the words, but we've all had a yesterday moment. See, Paul, when he was talking to the church in Corinth, he said the folk there that were all caught up in some stuff, he said that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. He gives this whole list of stuff. He said fornicators and adulterers and liars and cheaters and stealers. And then he really drops the bomb. He has the drop the mic moment. He said, and so that you don't get so beside yourself and you think that you're all that. And such were some of you. But now, you're washed. But now, you're justified. But now, you've been sanctified. You've been set apart. You've had a but God moment. When you used to be this way, and you used to roll this way, but God saw you in your undone condition, and you're not like that anymore. Why? Not because of you, baby. But God, see, okay, maybe some of y'all don't remember how you used to be and how you used to roll. I know sometimes we get saved and sanctified and we on our way to heaven and we forget how we used to be. So I'll just speak for myself. I used to be this way. I used to puff pass. I used to drink a little alcohol, but that was then. This is now, but God. I used to go to the club and shake a tail feather. I used to shut the club down, y'all, but that was then. But now, but God. I used to do this and I used to do that, but God. And maybe you can relate to me this way. You used to do things you knew you had no business doing, and there's no way you should be sitting up in church on a Sunday morning, but God. You went for the loan, and with your credit being as down in the valley as it was, you should not have received the loan, but God gave you favor, but God. You should not have received that promotion. You didn't have the criteria. You didn't have what it takes, but God stepped in, and he started orchestrating some stuff just for you. You had a but God moment. Maybe it was that you were all caught up in this and you used to do that and but God now, but God then, but now, but God, but now, but God. We've all had a but God moment. We can praise God off of that right now. We don't even have to get to the text. We can praise God simply on but God. And so, you've had a but God moment. And yeah, Satan, he used all that stuff from my past to mess me up. I was incarcerated. Satan wanted to destroy me because he knew that if I could just tap into the power source, that I would be a dangerous girl. He just knew that if he could just keep me locked down, then I would not be able to tap into the purpose that God had for me. So he took all of that stuff and he constantly brought it in my face. And I kept playing it like it was a broken record. And I allowed him to handcuff me. And I became public enemy number one. Here I am getting high and drinking. I was doing the opposite. I'm a child of God now and I was rolling like that. And I was doing the opposite of what Paul told me to do in Romans 12. Paul says, first, he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It just makes sense. It just makes sense when you know God and God knows you and you look at all that he's done for you. It just makes sense that you gave some reasonable service. You should be a living sacrifice, not dead. Those things that are dead are only good for one thing, to be buried. But you are a living sacrifice. We should be active and busy doing kingdom business. That's the least that we can do. Then in verse 2, Paul says, and don't be conformed to this world. Don't live in harmony with it. Don't get caught up with it. Don't take on the nature of this world. Don't live like, don't act like, don't walk like, don't talk like. Don't do what they do. Don't get comfortable with living here. Don't cozy up to and get close to the world. Don't get happy about living here. Why? Because this world is not your home. You're just passing through. So don't set up camp here. Don't be conformed to this world. But because I was trapped, because my mind was on lock, I could not do what Paul told me to do. He said, don't be conformed. But he said, Deb, you need to be transformed. I was jacked up. My mind was twisted. But it wasn't until I surrendered everything to God. It wasn't until I allowed him to get close enough to me. It wasn't until that moment when I felt like I was at the very brink. Have you ever felt like you're just about to lose your natural mind? See, we're so good at hiding and masking our pain. We come to church every Sunday looking good, and on the inside, we all toe up. We do a good job at that. It wasn't until my desperation hooked up with my pain and the pressure was at its greatest moment that I allowed God to touch me. I allowed him to touch the source of my pain. And that's when my transformation began. His touch. See, first I was trapped. But then I had to be touched. And it was his touch that made the difference. I had to get close enough to God so that he could heal me. Let me break it down to you like this. I used to run track when I was in high school, and I was good. I was real good. I was a sprinter, and I was good. Can I get an amen on being good? All right. I wasn't only fast, y'all. I was swift. I was so good that I was winning medals and trophies because I was good. I was so good that one day I went to my coach. I didn't ask him, but I stepped to this man and I told him. I said, Coach, when we have our next track meet, I'm going to do the hurdles too. And I said that because I was good. And I knew I was good. And so the coach, you know, he looked at me kind of strange. And he looked at me like I was crazy. And I was. And he tried to talk me out of it. He tried to convince me that, well, Deb, you know, you're doing really good with this sprint. Just stick with what you know, baby. Stick with what you know. But no, I'm good. So not only will I sprint and do that 100-meter dash, but I'm going to do the hurdles, too, because in my mind, with the hurdles, all you have to do is run fast and jump. That's all it takes. And so he could not change my mind about it, but he then encouraged me. He said, well, if you're going to do this because your mind is made up, at least practice it, Deb. But no, I'm good. I don't need to practice. So I got to the track meet, and because I was good, I won my races, of course. Of course I did. And when it came to the hurdles, the 110-meter hurdles, I got down in those starting blocks, y'all. with all the other runners. And then the gun went off, and I took off, and I went over that first hurdle. Y'all, it was poetry in motion. Y'all hear me? It was a beautiful thing to see. My mind just goes back to that moment, and I look so good. When I went, I was just going over that hurdle, full stride, smooth, man, smooth. I went to the second hurdle, and I went across that thing, and I got to the third hurdle, and my lead leg, my right leg, it went across the hurdle, and I promise you, somebody lifted up that hurdle. And my left leg, my foot got caught on the hurdle. So when I came down, my ankle twisted and I hit the ground. I just fell down. And do you know those other runners didn't even stop? You would have thought they would have checked on me to see if I was okay, but they just kept on running. And I was dejected. I couldn't walk. I crawled over to the sideline, and my coach came over and he picked me up. And he carried me to the field, the inner field, and he looked at it and he said, "Dad, that's a bad sprain right there, but I'm good." And I played it off, and that joke could hurt though. And he said, "Deb, here's some ice." They wrapped it up, and he encouraged me to go see the doctor. And I didn't go at first. I just hobbled around looking crazy, in pain. And then it got to a point where I could barely walk. And so finally, I went to the doctor. And I remember I walked in, and the nurse, she took me back to the examination room and had me hop up on the table, and she asked me what happened. I had to relive all that all over again and tell her how it went down and how I hurt my ankle. And she's taking notes and everything. And then the doctor came in, and he asked the same question. And I'm looking at him like, "Well, don't you know? She just wrote everything down." But I had to relive it again. And the doctor reached to touch my ankle. And because it hurt, I didn't want him to touch it. It hurt too much. So I pulled back. And he reached again, and I pulled back. And I'll never forget it. That doctor said, "Deb, if you want me to heal it, if you want me to help it, you have to let me touch it." Y'all just missed a shout. You have experienced pain. You've been in pain. The devil set a trap for you. Your adversary wants to take you out by any means necessary. And so he takes those painful moments in your life and he twists your thoughts, and he makes you believe that God is not there for you. He wants you to doubt God, and you're incarcerated and your spirit is handcuffed. You belong to God and you have access to the power source, but because of the pain, you won't let God touch you. You have to allow God get close to you. You have to get close enough to him so that God can touch the source of your pain. And when he does, then he can work a mighty work in you. Jesus said that if the Son shall make you free, you are free indeed. Baby, you have the power. He gave you the power to live a transformed life. Don't be hoodwinked and trapped, and you've got to allow God to get close enough, and you get close enough to him. You have to allow him to touch you. Don't worry about it. It happened. You can't do anything about it. You can't change it. It is what it is. She hurt you. He sabotaged you. You sabotaged yourself. They left you. They abandoned you. They abused you. And it hurt. But God takes those moments in our lives and he orchestrates all of it for his glory. For two reasons. First of all, so that he can get glory, because he's worthy. And secondly, baby, it's really not about you. I know what happened, and I know what happened in your world, in your face. And I know some of us are walking around and our spirits are low and we're feeling dejected and our, if one tear falls, it's over. Because we try to hold it in. We try to fake it until we can make it. But what we really need to do is faith it so that you can make it. Just trust in God. Allow God to get close enough to you so that he can touch the source of your pain. You want to live a transformed life? Be aware of the trap, because the devil's out there. He wants to take you out. Nothing would make his day more than if you would doubt God. Be aware of the trap. But then also be aware of God's touch. God will change your life. He will change your situation. And you won't even look like what you've been through. You won't even, okay, let me put it this way. Y'all remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? The brothers in the fiery furnace. And God was right there with them in the fire. The king set up a trap for them. They would not bow. They refused. They knew the consequences. They get thrown in the fiery furnace. God will meet you in your fiery moments. He will stand there with you. And then they turn the furnace up 7 times hotter than normal. So it's not that the fire wasn't hot. That's not why they didn't perish. But when God is with you, baby, God will orchestrate that thing so that he fireproofs you. And when you come out, you won't even smell like smoke. You won't look like the hell that you've been through. That's the kind of God that you serve. Despite the trap, trust his touch. Know that it's his touch, God's touch, that will give you what you need to live a transformed life. You don't really have the power to do it. I had to come to that conclusion because I'm telling you, I had tried so many different things to try to be free. And no matter what I tried, it would not work. It wasn't enough. I wasn't strong enough. I didn't have the power. But when I got to know God, when you know what you know, what you know, what you know, because of who you know, when you stop worrying about stuff and start worshiping God, then God starts working. You just have to trust him. Trust his touch. Know that God has got you. When my mom left, it messed me up. Messed me up. But God, he saw me for what I would become, not where I was. He knew about the pain. He knew about the shame, the abuse, the mistakes, the sabotages. He knew it all. He knew all the problems. He knew it, everything. But he said, Deb, I love you anyway. And if you let me touch you, his touch, nobody else's touch could do that. Just God's touch. It made all the difference in the world. That's all I have for you this morning. So we've talked about the trap. We talked about the touch. But this afternoon, we're going to talk about the transformation and the triumph. Know that God has everything that you need right now. Know that God wants to work a mighty work in you right now. Know that you have a purpose that he wants you to fulfill right now, despite every trap that Satan has set for you, despite every demon that has congregated against you, despite the times that you even sabotage yourself. Do y'all know what that looks like? When you mess up stuff, nobody messed it up but you. You can't blame nobody else but you. You standing in the middle of the cell. There are no doors. There are no bars. You just standing there. You won't move because you're afraid. You get comfortable being dysfunctional. And God is saying, baby, you don't have to live that way. I gave my life for you. I sacrificed myself for you so that you can live a transformed life. Just let me touch you. That's all it takes. Give it to God. Be aware of the trap, but trust his touch. Thank you so much.